Today on Annenberg Radio News.
They hate the stench, literally, that you get sometimes in the middle of the night, or the fact that you turn on your tap and you've got brown or black gunky water.
Industrial pollution takes a toll on some Southeast LA residents. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for November 17th, 2011. I'm Regina Graham.
Looks to me like the people are mad as hell.
Moods at the Occupy LA rallies turned hostile. Today, protesters blocked an intersection downtown, leading to more than 20 arrests and snarling traffic. ATVN reporter Elise Perlmutter was at the protest this morning. Elise, what can you tell us?
Well, the protests were surprisingly peaceful. There was 23 arrests, but, you know, it really didn't seem like there was a lot going on. The protesters were standing in the middle of the street, and they were basically waiting to be arrested. They knew they were going to be arrested. It was planned for them to be arrested. So it didn't come as all that much of a shock when the police did take them away. It was pretty peaceful. The police were all out there in riot gear, and it kind of looked worse than the scene actually was. The afternoon protests were a little bit more tense. They marched down to the Bank District, and at points there was protesters confronting the police, but the police kind of just stood there and let it all happen. And at one point, they eventually actually just backed away and let the protesters camp out in the middle of, right in front of Bank of America.
Were protesters setting up tents down at Bank of America again?
Yes, they did. It was amazing. Within 5 minutes of getting there, they had a full tent city set up.
Well, thank you for that. A study released today finds hate crimes in L.A. reached a historic low last year. Arielle Edwards-Levy has more.
The state of California. But in Los Angeles County, the numbers tell a different story. In 2010, L.A. saw 427 reports of hate crimes, the least recorded in the 21 years such crimes have been monitored. The sharpest decrease was in crimes against African Americans and Jews. L.A. County Human Relations Commissioner Robin Toma credits the decrease to a crackdown on gangs who target African Americans. There's also been a reduction in anti-Semitic graffiti.
We are extraordinarily pleased and feel encouraged by this because we have been working hard along with many other partners that can really take heart in what we're seeing here. This is not just a blip on the screen, but this is something that is happening year after year and continuing on a downward trend. And I think the challenge is to keep it continuing downward.
The report did see a rise in anti-immigrant sentiment, including a 22% rise in crimes against Mexicans. Arielle Edwards-Levy, Annenberg Radio News.
The 2011 Los Angeles Auto Show opens tomorrow downtown. 20 vehicles will be making their worldwide debut at the convention center. Spokeswoman Robin Laird says this year the hot trend is high tech.
The technology will be including advanced applications of Bluetooth, radar sensors that monitors a driver's alertness, automatic braking. There's just a lot of new high-tech stuff at the show this year.
The show will also feature a competition for cars designed to star on the silver screen. A group of young, newly trained peacekeepers gathered at USC today. As Maddie Lindsay reports, it's a high-spirited event.
In the rain, what glorious feeling. And that's all you gotta know because
although it wasn't raining, some 200 high school students rallied in a USC auditorium preparing to partake in a youth peace movement organized by the Soledad Enrichment Action, an organization that provides high-risk teens alternatives to gangs, drugs, and violence through field trips and education services. The movement is a two-day workshop that teaches young people from South LA and other areas of LA County how to promote peace in their neighborhoods. Alejandra Herrera, a 17-year-old student, reads an excerpt from her essay about being an agent of peace.
I think it's important to promote peace within myself instead of just promoting peace within my community. I want to prove to students and myself that violence is not the answer to our problems.
Community involvement in leadership activities have taught Daniel Arroyo the leadership skills needed to be the driving force of change.
Well, we've done like many things like street cleanups, like graffiti removal, and we actually went to the beach and cleaned up the beach too.
It is hoped that these students carry what they learned back into their schools and homes. Peace is becoming more attainable to these students day by day. Maddie Lindsay, Annenberg Radio News.
Tonight will be cool and partly cloudy with the low of 51 degrees. Those clouds will last into tomorrow with a high of 60. This weekend, still overcast with temperatures in the high 40s to low 60s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we look at a controversial court ruling that could shift the battle over gay marriage. Faculty from the California State University system are striking today for the first time in the system's history. Walkouts were staged at two Cal State campuses, East Bay and Dominguez Hills. Aaron Schrank reports on the Dominguez Hills walkout.
Don't cross the picket line! Don't cross the picket line!
Hundreds gathered to picket in front of... Hundreds gathered to picket in front of CSU Dominguez Hills in Carson today. Professors from many of Cal State's 23 campuses around California joined the protest. The strike comes just one day after student protests over a 9% tuition hike turned violent. The California Faculty Association, or CFA, is the union that represents CSU professors. The striking professors are calling for a 0.25% pay raise and urging CSU Chancellor Charles Reed to shift his priorities to focus on students. Their message is clear. You can't put students first if you put teachers last. Steve Jobbett is a history professor at Cal State Fullerton.
I know I have two kids, I can't afford daycare, with the money they pay me in Orange County up in Fullerton, I can't even afford their cheapest subsidized housing. That just goes to tell you, take a look at the cost of living, take a look at what we earn and what we've invested in our education. I'm going deeper in debt now than when I was a graduate student.
When adjusted for inflation, Cal State professors are making less on average than they were in 1998. Chancellor Reed estimates the 0.25% pay raise would cost $20 million per year, an increase he says the system can't afford. But Jobbett and the others insist the strike is about more than salaries.
Truthfully, if you look around you, everybody out here isn't here about money.
That's Lillian Taze, CFA president.
They're here about trying to preserve the education for our students, the road to the middle class, to preserve middle-class jobs. We're just like everybody else in this country that are sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Some students joined in support of the striking professors. Gavin Santano is a junior at Dominguez Hills. He skipped class today to stand with the professors.
They sacrificed so much for us. It's time that we need to support them, because in essence, when we support them, we're supporting our education.
Fourth-year Fredrick Figueroa is another Dominguez Hills student. He wasn't intending on skipping class today, but all three of his were canceled.
Campus is looking pretty empty today. At least half of the students are missing, half of the faculty. Never seen it like this before.
While he's not involved in the protest, he is supportive.
Finally, someone's doing something. Tuitions have been going up every year. I started off paying $1,800, but my tuition has gone up to almost $4,000 already.
Tuition is also an issue for Cal State LA student Simaine Abay.
We have to pay more tuition while the administration, Chancellor Reed, are getting raises, and it's coming out of our pocket, so I'm here fighting against that.
Liz Chapin in Chancellor Reed's office said students shouldn't be put in the middle of negotiations between the union and CSU. She told me that she shares the professor's frustration about cuts to the system and pointed out that Cal State has had to go to great lengths to keep the doors of its campuses open. She says the energy of everyone in the Cal State system should be focused on encouraging the state to prioritize higher education. Aaron Schrank, Annenberg Radio News.
Residents of Southeast LA, cities like Maywood and Vernon, live along one of the country's busiest shipping and manufacturing corridors. The area is also highly polluted. California Watch reporter Janet Wilson found one Maywood family who agreed to take medical tests to find out how that affected their health.
I wanted to try and put faces on what I read about in all of these studies. So I went door to door looking for a typical family that would be willing to be tested, and I found the Martines. They're average, hardworking family that lives downwind of about 2,000 different factories. From the first time I talked to Josefina Martin, she told me about two decades of worries and exposure that they had been through. This family and many others that I interviewed, they would like to be able to move because they hate the rotten smell, the stench, literally, that you get sometimes in the middle of the night from the rendering plants, for instance, or air that doesn't look good or feel good, or the fact that you turn on your tap and you've got brown or black gunky water pouring out. Most of us actually have traces of many potentially dangerous substances in our bodies at this point. It's kind of a price of modern-day living, if you will, but they had some levels that were far higher than for most Americans.
You can read Wilson's three-part series on the family at californiawatch.org. The California Supreme Court issued a new ruling today in the ongoing battle of gay marriage. Supporters of Proposition 8, which banned gay marriage in the state of California, now have the right to defend that ban in court. The Prop 8 showdown will continue in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. But for more on what this really means, I spoke with USC Professor of Law, David Cruz.
Today's ruling by the California Supreme Court increases the likelihood that the Federal Appeals Court for the Ninth Circuit will hold that the official sponsors of Prop 8 have standing to appeal from Judge Walker's decision, and therefore increases the chances that that court will reach the underlying legal question, does Prop 8 violate the U.S. Constitution?
What will be the next steps in this case?
There will now be a question whether or not the Ninth Circuit invites any additional briefing from the parties on both sides on the question about authority to take an appeal in federal court. So we'll probably see another round of briefing from the parties. Following today's California Supreme Court decision, we're likely to see a longer course of litigation in the federal court.
In your opinion, if the Supreme Court does in fact use this as a vehicle for holding that there's a right to marriage equality for gays and lesbians, do you think that what the California Supreme Court did today will turn out to be a victory for gays and lesbians?
I do not think that this Supreme Court is at all likely to hold that same-sex couples have a right to marry under the U.S. Constitution. That would be a sweeping, broad ruling that would invalidate the marriage laws of 45 states. The court virtually never gets that far ahead of the states and public opinion as a historical matter. And even Justice Ginsburg, one of the more liberal justices on whom people are counting for a vote to strike down Prop 8, has been on record in the reproductive rights area as saying that the Supreme Court went too far in Roe versus Wade. So even though she supports a woman's right to choose, she thought the court's decision striking down, in effect, all the criminal abortion laws at the time was too broad and should have been done on a more narrow basis. So if the plaintiffs were to win in the U.S. Supreme Court, it would probably, on grounds that are going to be specific to California, the history of the right to marry in California, which same-sex couples did enjoy as a fundamental right under the state constitution until Prop 8 overturned that right.
Thank you so much, Professor Cruz.
You're welcome, Ms. Graham.
The news has been full of stories lately about the Occupy LA encampment at City Hall downtown, but it's not like that space wasn't being used. Besides office workers taking their lunches, the space has been occupied by the City Hall's Farmers Market every Thursday since 2007. Reporter Melissa Runnels went down to the market to see how the Occupy encampment has affected the market's merchants.
The first thing you notice is the market isn't where it used to be. There are tents there now. The market has moved to the other side of Main Street. Vegetable vendors and bakers are lined up along the sidewalk.
And these are pumpkin pies.
I can cut it.
You can cut it?
Yeah. $6, yeah. Right?
$6. You got it. You bought.
The candied apple vendor and other food stalls are up the stairs ringing the courtyard. A couple of dozen office workers eating their lunches perch on the steps of the fountain or sit at metal chairs and tables strewn about. They crane their necks to eye the helicopters which have been hovering overhead all day, filming the encampment. The counterman at Senor Corn says there are fewer customers lately.
Some people might be either lazy or just don't want, you know, or because they're all testers. But yeah, we're missing a lot of city personnel aren't coming out to buy as often as before.
You might think all the protesters would be buying food from the farmers market, but he said business was down about 50%.
It's a different area, and they move us around like 3-4 spaces, so the regulars don't know where we're at.
Jimmy Chaw drove in from Fresno to sell his delicious-looking greens and vegetables at Yang's Best Produce. He says his business is down, too.
The manager says she's been talking to the city and stuff, and that's when they told her, like, they're going to, like, leave, I don't know, in a couple months or so, something like that. But it's going to take about 6 months to restore the park so we can get back to our spots.
The merchants are being told they won't be able to get their original spots behind City Hall back for a while. Police Chief Charlie Beck is working on a plan for removal of the encampment in the next few months. For Annenberg Radio News, I'm Melissa Runnels.
A new city position to investigate reports of prison brutality was created last month. Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas, top civil rights advocate, USC professor, and renowned pastor, Reverend Dr. Cecil Murray, as the first commissioner on jail violence. Producer Sarah Golden asked Reverend Murray why prisoners need an advocate. That story can be listened to AnnenbergRadioNews.org. When Carla Robinson isn't reporting for Annenberg Radio News, you can find her singing. And tonight at 7 o'clock, she'll be playing at the House of Blues Voodoo Lounge. She stopped by our studio to share one of her songs.
This is a song that I wrote myself, and it's called Miss This. And I originally wrote it for my sister. It's kind of about me telling her things that I'm sorry she has to go through, things I don't want her to miss, things I don't want us to miss out on together.
That's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Esther Kang and Yvette Sanchez. Sarah Golden is the producer. Ariel Edwards-Levy is the executive producer. For all of us at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Regina Graham.